Hey, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And been in this Holy Spirit transformation. The promise of Jesus. This morning, I only got one point, but I want to rebuild on that until we get to that one point. We have been talking out of Acts 4, where Jesus said to his disciples, "You shall receive power." Will you say those words with me? You shall receive power. Remembering that the disciples spent 3.5 years being discipled by the greatest discipler there ever was. Jesus Christ was a great discipler. And after 3.5 years, he said, as he taught them the kingdom of God for 40 days after his resurrection, he taught about the kingdom of God. And in essence, in Acts 1, he is saying, before you engage in this kingdom life, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise. And that promise is you will receive power. So understand, dear ones, that for us to be people who are of kingdom, we have to receive power. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that it's been upgraded from you shall receive to we have received. Because on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And so when you and I are engaging in this life, and this is what has brought us to Ephesians chapter 1. The word power, just to remind you, this is probably the last time I'll remind you of this sermon. The word power, that word, that stem of the words carries this idea of ability, capability, possibility, and then power. Intellectual, spiritual, and physical power. And so what Jesus is telling us is that there is an ability, a capability, and a possibility that is beyond human ability, capability, and possibility, physically, spiritually, and intellectually, that God is giving us to live out this kingdom. So we can't live out the kingdom by just trying harder, by trying to be a better person, trying to be a good Christian. We have to have power to live out this kingdom life that he calls us to. So power is the ability, capability, possibility outside of human ability, capability, or possibility, intellectually, spiritually, and physically. So as we are in this study, this brought us to Ephesians chapter 1. And we've been talking about this for probably a month or so. And I can say honestly, look you square in the eye. I don't know if you've ever had this situation where someone says, "Hey, will you pray for me?" And you say, "Sure will." And then about, you know, a few hours later, you forget, was I supposed to pray for somebody, right? That I have every day prayed this over your life, my kid's life, my wife's life, this church's life, Hope's life, the church in the valley. Every day I have been praying this prayer. And I want you to read it with me, would you? It's Ephesians chapter 1, and then we're gonna go on. For this reason, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, those are the two identifying marks if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ. Throughout the scripture, these marks identify you as a follower. You have faith in Jesus and you love people. He says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking, unceasing, constantly, intercession. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here's why, so that you may know him better. Now, Paul, who has a deep investment in the church in Ephesus, he's imprisoned in Rome and he's writing this letter to them. And notice what he doesn't pray for. Notice that he doesn't pray that they would be exempt from persecution. Notice that he doesn't pray that they would have a smooth passage in the world. Notice also that he doesn't pray that they would be great evangelists and that there would be a revival in Ephesus. Notice that he doesn't pray for that they'd be great soul winners or that they would be these people of deep insight into the mysteries of God. He doesn't pray this. The spiritual father who is invested in their life, he unceasingly prays for this, that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they may know him better. Everybody okay, by the way? Yeah. I'm almost like on a Holy Ghost hangover right now. It's kind of like, it's like, oh man, God, your presence is so awesome. I need a nap, you know. So, let me get to our points here. The idea is revelation means to uncover or to bring to light. And so Paul in chapter 1 says, look at all that God has done for us. Look and see what he's done for us. And for this reason, I'm asking that the Spirit of God would give you revelation, that they would uncover that it's already there. It's there given to us freely. But until we see it, until it becomes real to us, it has no value. Let me explain it this way. Used to watch this show called The Antique Roadshow. Have you ever seen that show? Honestly, not my favorite. I'm not a big antique guy, but the only reason I would watch it is because every once in a while there would be this table and this person would bring out this artifact and there would be this person over here who knows, who's an expert on the artifact, and they would say, tell me, how did you come about this artifact? And they would say, well, I was at this yard sale. Well, how much did you pay for it? Oh, it's about $20. And they would say, do you realize what you have here? Well, I know. Well, this is a hashbahadabah hagabah. And this is worth $50,000. And the person would go, $50,000? I had no idea. And they would all go, oh, and the angels would sing. It'd be awesome, right? They had no idea that this $20 item that they bought was actually worth $50,000. Now think about the person who sold them the artifact. That's what I always thought about. What about that person who said, I'll give me $20, and they lost $50,000? And dear ones, here's this, why this is so important is that we could sell our lives for so much less than what it's worth.
Amen.
If we don't get it, how much God loves us and all that God has done for us, we can sell ourselves out for cheap relationships, more money, another this, another that. But when we understand the worth and the value that God has placed within us, and he's given it to us, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he has freely given us, that when we understand that worth and value, that our lives begin a transformational process, that we would have the spirit of revelation, that it would be uncovered, that it would be made bare, that we would see clearly. So Paul said, first of all, that we would have this revelation. Secondly, that we would have wisdom. And wisdom is the practical application of what you understand. Wisdom is where we actually live out what we see. So when Paul says the spirit of wisdom revelation, it's that when you discover who you are in God and what God has done for you, then when you discover that, it's like, now how does this apply to my everyday life? Because revelation without application is really nothing. But when you and I have this understanding of who God is and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us the Word of God, he begins to reveal to us the value. And then as we see it, now, Holy Spirit, give me practical application on how I'm supposed to love my wife, how I'm supposed to love my kids, how I'm supposed to love my neighbor. And as we begin to understand this revelation, then it has very practical application to our everyday life. When I watched the Antique Roadshow, man, this person, you bought it for $20 and it sold it for 50, you bought it for 20 and now it's worth 50,000. The wisdom is, now what do I do with this? And my say is, sell the thing. Get rid of it. Do something else. That thing can be, sell it. Make the money. See, it's what do I do with this? And Paul is praying this over and over and over and over. Dear ones, let me just say this way. There is so much more about God that he wants to reveal to us. There's so much more. It's this grand adventure. There's so much more that he wants to show us about who they are. The Trinity wants to reveal themselves to us. And it doesn't happen through intellectual understanding alone. It doesn't happen through human wisdom. Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has in store for those who love him, but it has been revealed to us, there's our word, by the Spirit.
Amen.
So I'm not going to be able to grasp all that God has done for me just through my human intellect, right? Because power is this, an ability intellectually beyond human ability. I'm not going to be able to grasp everything God has for me just by physical senses, because this power is physically, it's beyond ability that is just human. That God wants to empower his people, and he has empowered us. And here's why. That we may know him. Now, this word knowledge. Everybody okay, by the way? Everybody good?
Yeah.
Got three people that are good. Thank you, Jeff, for being good. I'm glad. One of the joys that Deb and I have had is that most of the time our children have been with us our whole ministry life. They've been in church with us, except for our youngest son. He missed God and moved away from his family. But we have forgiven him. Caleb and Taylor, no. But one of the challenges they've had is they've heard my sermons before and they've heard illustrations before. And you might have heard this one before as well. So sis, I apologize. You've heard this before, but I love you anyways. This word know is not just a knowledge intellectually. It's a knowledge of fullness. Let me explain it this way. When our daughter, when Amy was really, really young, we would pull up a kitchen chair next to the stove, not too close, because she loved to watch Deb cook. Sometimes I would cook macaroni and cheese, but it was primarily Deb. And our testimony to her was this: do not touch the burner, because the burner is hot. Good testimony. So Amy, somehow, some way, I don't know how she did it, but our backs were turned. I think we were dumping noodles into the sink, and she reached over and she touched the burner. Right? Now, her knowledge became full about the heat of the burner. We told her, don't touch because it'll burn. Now she knew it would burn. And when Paul says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better, it's not just this intellectual assent that we can say, I know God loves me, but we know God loves us. It's not just words being said. It is something that we have experienced and know fuller. It's this idea that the more we know him, the more he influences our everyday life. It's this knowledge that is beyond human intellect. Paul says this can't come from someone just telling it to you. This can only come as Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And as he reveals it to you, now you really know him. This is Paul's prayer. And this is why we're on this journey together of Holy Spirit, on this transformation of the Holy Spirit, because what we see in the lives of the disciples, we see them from guys who were fully discipled by Jesus, yet when push came to shove, they abandoned him. And remember in Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and you got to hate your own life, take up your cross and follow me, or you can't be my disciple. These guys, Peter said it, Jesus, we left our mothers and we left our family, and we left our jobs and we left our homes to follow you. And Jesus said, man, you're going to be blessed for this. So they did that part of it. But when it came to their life, they saved their life. Their life was more important than following Jesus Christ. So on the night of the crucifixion, what do? Peter takes a whack at somebody's head, misses, catches the ear, Jesus heals them, and they all flee. In fact, one of them takes off naked running. They're out. They're saving their own life. What happened? They had not yet reached the place of faith where they're willing to say, we'll lay down our life for you. Then the day of Pentecost comes, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues, beautiful thing. Revival begins to take place in Jerusalem. They get called on the carpet by the Sanhedrin. What do? Stop teaching in the name of Jesus. They said, do what you got to do, but we're going to obey God. They prayed again, stretch out your hands, signs and wonders and miracles and boldness to proclaim. The place was shaken with the Holy Spirit. They were filled, and they go out and they preach some more. Acts chapter 5, what happens? The Sanhedrin brings them in again and says, we told you to stop, and if you don't knock it off, we're going to kill you. And Gamaliel steps up and says, guys, you could be fighting God. I wouldn't do that. So instead of killing them, they just beat the tar out of them. And what was their response? They rejoiced that they were found worthy of suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. What happened to these guys? What took place that they were saving their hides to they were willing to lay their hides on the line for Jesus? They received power of the Holy Spirit. And dear ones, they tapped out the first time. They didn't tap out the second time. Why? Because they were filled. This is why the Church of Jesus Christ, this is not a Pentecostal message. This is not a charismatic message. This isn't trying to promote a doctrine. This is a reality. This life of the kingdom of God can only be lived by receiving power. And Paul says, I am praying that that Spirit would give you the wisdom and revelation that you may know him. And the interesting thing is for me, guys, the longer I've served God, the more I recognize there's so much more to learn about him. What a grand adventure. This last week, I was telling our Wednesday night group, this last week I have been confused about a verse for a long time. And this week I was reading it again. I'm going, God, I just don't get it. I read commentaries. I don't get it. They didn't get it. And so, finally, I read it. I go, Holy Spirit, I don't get this. Would you give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation? And guess what happened? It's theologically correct, number one. Number two, I get it now. I see it now. After 30 years, I had been reading this verse going, I don't get it. I don't get it. And then it was like, oh, I get it. And I'm telling you honestly, I am crying in my living room. I'm weeping going, God, you are so amazing. Of course it's this. Of course it is. This is amazing. What other book you can read for 30 years and still get something out of it? Because it's the spirit of wisdom and revelation that changes us. You're my friend. I sure like you. Even if you didn't say it was good or great, you're my friend. I like you. So here's what Paul's praying for. Listen for just a couple more minutes. He's praying for them to know God as their friend. I just was on my Facebook account the other day on my birthday, was saying thank you to some folks who were wishing me happy birthday, and I realized I have over 1,000 friends on Facebook. You know what? I don't have 1,000 friends. I got 1,000 people who might know me or did know me, but I don't have 1,000 friends. I can't know 1,000 people intimately. I don't have 1,000 people who know me and I know them. And when Paul's saying this prayer, when he's praying this prayer unceasingly as their spiritual dad, he's going, I'm praying this over and over again. What is he saying? That you would have an intimacy with God, that you would be fully known, and you would know fully. And I've got just a very few people in my life who know me fully, and I know them fully. And that's what Paul is praying for here. Not a perfect knowledge. Not a knowledge that is just, I got everything figured out, but a firsthand, intimate knowledge of God. Let me finish with this. Go with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to read two verses, and then we're going to pray. Dear ones, you are so loved. Can I just tell you that? You're really, really loved. We're going to read verse 9. We've been in this chapter many, many times before. I just keep coming back to it. Verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Would you read that out loud with me? Just read it out loud. As the Father has loved me,
so I love you.
Would you read again? As the Father has loved Jesus, so have I loved you. Okay, now remain. Read it with me. Now remain in my love. That's that same word of abiding. It's making your home. It's being comfortable. It's living there. It's not in and out. It's not a hotel relationship. You come in, stay for a while, and take off. It's this relationship of love. Now remain in my love. Now Jesus tells us how to do this. Not complicated. He shows us how to do this. Next verse. Do I not have the next verse? Oh, thumbs up? Oh, there it is. If you keep, read it out loud with me if you would. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So what his command is this, John 13, 34 and 35. As I have loved you, love each other. This is my command. as I have loved you. So what he's saying is, you've got to receive this love to be able to give this love. You can't give this love unless you receive this love. Jesus now moves it forward to Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So how is this going to be lived out? It's because of the Holy Spirit's power that we are going to be able to do this. How do I know this? Romans 5 says that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So it's this relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, by which you and I obey his commands. His commands is, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed, kept my Father's commands, remain in his love. Keep going, would you, Darren? Verse 11 says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Keep going. My command is this. Would you read it out loud with me? Love each other as I have loved you. My command is for you and I to love each other as Jesus loved us. Now look around this room. Start here. Start right here. And you say, Mike, I can hardly stand that person over there. That person over there is a bit of a jerk. I can't stand that person over there. Okay? Well, that's not a them issue necessarily. That's a you issue. Because for us to be able to obey the command, you got to receive power. See, the disciples couldn't keep the command. The disciples couldn't do it until they received power. Then when they received power, the transformative life of the Spirit is so evident in their lives that they are laying down their lives for each other. They are serving each other. They're helping each other. They're committed to each other. Acts chapter 2, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. And the Lord added daily those who were being saved. What happened? The power of the Holy Spirit touched a community of people, and God could trust a community of people who were loving each other, devoted to each other, committed to each other. And when that happened, the Lord added every day those who were being saved. I believe it's the greatest evangelistic tool the world has, the church has, is when we love each other. How are we going to love each other? We've got to love each other by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then how does that work? Paul says, I pray that you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better, the one who loves you, that you know him better. And until we see it, until we experience it, it's just words. And what I'm praying every day, God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 15, he says this, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends. But he has an if there. We're not friends just because we've said a prayer. You're my friends if you do what I command. That the evidence of our relationship with God is based on obedience to his command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So Jesus said, I have told you everything my Father wants you to know. But in John chapter 16, he says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you're not ready to hear it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to take from what is mine and he's going to make it known to you. Now, here's my question. Here's my question. Listen up real quick and I'm done. Are we ready for this? Are we ready for God to show us more of who he is? Are we ready? Is our hearts hungry? Are we kind of God's Facebooking Jesus as a friend? I'm just kind of clicking him up. Yeah, he's my friend. Or is he our friend? Are we ready for him to reveal things that we have yet to see? Are our hearts crying out and burning within us going, God, there's got to be more. I want to know you more. I am hungry to know you more. God, you have already given me everything I need for godliness and holiness in Christ Jesus, 1 Peter says. But yet, there is more that I need to see so that I can live out what you've freely given me. Are you satisfied with your walk with God? Is the only time you talk with him is when troubles come? Is your prayer life formed around food? It's okay. But you know, God has so much more than bless this food to the nourishment of my body.
Amen.
Is there something within you that says, I am so hungry? Amen. You say, Mike, I can answer no to all those things. Then here's what you do. God, please give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I may know you better. Don't fake it. Don't pretend. Don't do the Christian thing where we just act, you know, fake it till you make it. That's a bunch of hooey. Don't do that. Be honest with God. If there is no desire for his word, if there's no desire for prayer, if there's nothing within you that says, I'm hungry for this, but yet you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1, because you believe the word of truth, and God says, I seal you as mine, and you say, I know God, I have accepted as my Savior, but I have no desire to seek him, then you need to pray Ephesians chapter 1, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
That I can know. You know what, family? You know what privilege we have as followers of Jesus Christ? The disciples, when they lived, they showed the people around them the kingdom of God. That the everyday life of that culture and that generation was disrupted because they got to see something outside of the norm of what life was like in that time and culture. And one of the privileges we have as followers of Jesus Christ is that we get to show a world a different world. We get to show people we live with a different culture. It's called the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, are there miracles? Definitely. Book of Acts kind of writes them this way. And Peter and John were going to prayer, and there was a guy who was blind and he couldn't see. And Peter and John said, silver and gold I don't have, in the name of Jesus Christ, or he was lame, rise up and walk. And the guy went walking, leaping. It wasn't like, and he went leaping. It was like, of course this happened. They received power. Of course, blind eyes open. They receive power. But the book of Acts, there's not this like everything written in bold when it came to miracles. It was like, of course this happened. What was emphasized in the book of Acts was not just miracles, but the life transformation of people. Paul, an arrogant jerk, becomes, or Saul, the arrogant jerk, becomes Paul, the apostle. His name means little or humble. And I wonder if God says, I need to change your name to little and humble, because every time you hear your name, you have to be reminded, oh, that's right, it's not about me. Dear ones, are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready for God to do such a work in our heart? Are we ready? Are we hungering? If not, pray. If you are, say, I am ready, then pray for more. Join your voice with mine. Let's come into this place where we just every day we're going, God, give this valley the spirit of wisdom and revelation. God, give Valley Christian Center. Give Hope Chapel. Give beyond the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better. There's actually three more petitions we're going to go through. Ephesians chapter 3's got two, and Ephesians chapter 1's got one more. But can we start here? Can we lift our voice together? And can we ask the God of our glorious Father to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Would you join with me on that? Would you stand with me, please? We're going to pray. Darren, are you able to put those verses up, Ephesians chapter 1? Can you find those real quick? And we're going to declare them out loud. I'm praying this over my grandkids. I'm praying this over my dear friend, my pastor is going through some real physical issues right now. I'm praying that over his life. God, give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm praying over another friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine whose kidneys are failing. God, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. See, this is not just an intellect. This is intimacy with God and what God is saying in their lives. Can you pull that up, Darren? Can you put it up real quick? Ephesians 1, verse 17. Can you find it? No, it's John 15. Ephesians 1. Okay, just so that we do it all together. Would you lift your right hand to the Lord as we pray this? Would you say it out loud? Everyone, here we go. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better.
Amen.
Father, we pray that over our lives. We pray that over our families' lives. We pray over our children's lives, our grandkids' lives. We pray that, Father, over this valley. We pray that over the churches of this valley. Father, as I'm reading, as I'm studying, it's your church that you're talking to. It's your people that have the ears to hear. Lord, the man without the Spirit doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. So, Lord, we need your Spirit to reveal these things to our hearts and to the hearts of those who don't know you. Father, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, you have already done so very much for us. You lavished grace upon us. We are seated in heavenly realms with Christ right now. God, you have chosen us before the foundations of the earth to be holy and blameless in your sight. In love, you predestined us to be conformed into the image of your Son. Wow, God, how marvelous these things are. But Lord, we can't, if we don't see it, we're selling something that's worth $1 million for 20 bucks. God, if we don't see it, it's just another knickknack, another trinket. But God, when we see it, we understand the great worth and value you have. Holy Spirit, speak it to our hearts. And Lord, I'm grateful there's no age limit on this. It's not when you get this age or before this age. It's for all of us, God. There's no shelf life on this. But God, you have called us your own. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we as your people would understand how high and wide and deep and long is the love of Christ.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Amen. When we see it, we live it. And when we live it, others see it. And we need power to do this. God, Christianity is not good manners. Christianity is a transformed life. And I've seen article after article, I've read article after article where people say people really don't change. They're the same. They're really the same. And that flies in the face of what you promise. You've promised transformation because it's not us changing from without, it's Holy Spirit changing us from within. Let us see it. In Jesus' name. Would you agree with me, family? Would you say yes and amen? Come on, would you say yes and amen? I want to invite you back tonight with hope. If you come and just worship with the Hope family. I think we're the hope of our valley. Sorry for being punny. My apologies. I believe God's got great things for us. We want to see it. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bless you with the fullness of God. I bless you with the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you, as Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, have you received the power since you believed? And they said, we have not even heard of this thing. We only heard of the baptism of John. And he says, let me tell you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And they were all filled. And it started the church of Ephesus. Lord, fill us all afresh and anew today. Your word says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more Heavenly Father will give Holy Spirit to those who ask. We're just asking you, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh today. Fill us afresh today so that when we leave this place, we are going to love as Christ loved us in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you say yes and amen?
Yes,
yes and amen. Love on somebody, would you? God bless you today. Love you very much.